Now, in November last year, thousands of students walked out of school to demand politicians act on climate change. This Friday, they will strike again, this time accompanied by their tertiary counterparts as part of an international day of action involving more than 50 countries. Joining us to discuss the demands of protesters and more about the movement is one of the key organisers of the University of Sydney walk-off, Kelton Muir. Kelton, thank you very much for your time.
Hi, Julia. Thanks very much for having me.
No problem at all. So looking back to November, how important do you believe the first school strike for climate action was?
It was massive and massively important. Like, it really really inspired a lot of people to get serious about thinking about and fighting for climate change and climate justice. There's really been inaction on every parliamentary level for a very long time, and people sort of saw the Paris Agreement come and go, and nothing really seemed to be the sort of change that we need, and people weren't committing to the changes that we need. And these high school kids have sort of put a spark behind everyone to think seriously, what do we all have to do to save the planet, because we're actually running out of time, and it's an incredibly serious and important thing to be dealing with right now. They really also, like, sort of put down a message as well about actually how we can do it that the politicians in Australia are not talking about. Like, the coalition government released their plan for climate action for the election a couple of weeks ago, or maybe 10 days ago now, and like, they're putting down $2 billion over 10 years. That's $200 million a year. It's like 0.1% of the budget, I believe, to deal with climate change. And all they're doing is asking businesses to, like, giving them money, essentially, big business, giving them money to switch to slightly greener options. And in some cases, it's like switching from diesel to ethanol. It's not actually going off of fossil fuels. So these high school kids have really, really made a very important point by saying we need 100% renewable energy, and we need no new sources of fossil fuel. And everyone's been excited and sparked by that sort of energy that they put out there and their sort of action of going on strike.
Definitely, and it did kind of add to that momentum and snowball effect of other big protests since the Stop Adani protests and the sit-in at Parliament led by young and old First Nations leaders.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about the demands that these kids have for politicians, and will university students be able to bring any other demands to the table?
Yeah, so the high school kids have a set of three demands. The first one being Stop Adani, the second one being 100% renewables by 2030, and then the third one being no new coal or gas, no new power stations, fossil fuel power stations. So, like, as I said, like, those are not things that even the Greens are talking about. Like, the Greens have a policy of an emissions trading scheme mixed up with different sort of market mechanisms to deal with climate change. And there's some movement, and actually the movement since the kids have put these demands forward and actually sparked it all off. So, like, the New South Wales Labor Party in the upcoming state election have promised that they'll be looking at a 100% renewable power station, but owned by the government as well, which I think is a really positive step forward. No one's been talking about that kind of stuff in a while. Even like the Liberals in New South Wales agreed to open two new coal-fired power stations, accept the bids like a week ago up in the Hunter. So, like, those demands have had ripple effects already through the rest of politics. And the Greens in New South Wales have now been talking about that as well. David Shoebridge, who does great campaigning on environmental justice, but also on First Nations justice too, he's been talking about that a lot in the lead up to the election. But elsewhere in the actual policy, the Greens still isn't there. As far as what uni students are doing, we started getting organised because we were so excited by the first one. A number of people went down to the strike and sort of had found out about it a few days before it happened, but high school kids had been really getting organised for a while. And when we heard the second one was happening, we talked to some of the high school students who had been involved in organising the first one and set up our own campaign group, spreading the climate strike. And we had a discussion about sort of what our demands would be, and it was building off of these great things that the kids had put forward. And we decided to add one more in our discussion and our organising meeting there at the beginning about green jobs as well. And I think it's a really fundamental question. How do we actually achieve that 100% renewable energy when Liberals and Labor are not even close to putting down a policy that's going to do that? How do we have baseload solar power, which we have the technology for, store it in batteries, have offshore wind turbines in the ocean, have other forms of renewable energy in Australia that we can actually power ourselves fully by, how do we actually win those demands? And we thought about it and thought that actually the power that's needed to force that on the government, but also the power that's needed to win serious things in political movements is the power of organised workers. And it's been like a long-running sort of juxtaposition in the environment movement for, well, it goes all the way back to the 70s. It goes back before that as well to this sort of idea of environmentalism as something that's counterposed to jobs. And it just doesn't have to be. In fact, it shouldn't be. Jobs and the environment should be combined. Like the justice that we're talking about, like environmental justice, needs to have ordinary people being employed in green jobs. We need at least 100,000, if not more. I've seen reports that say we could have up to 300,000 jobs if we built 100% renewable energy and put that investment down for it. And that's massive, and it's also a way that you can approach unions. You could approach the CFMEU, who right now, for instance, are against the Stop Adani campaign. They're pro-Adani in Queensland. And you could approach these powerful militant unions who are fighting right now in the Change the Rules campaign for an increase in wages. Australia needs a wage rise. They're fighting for the right to strike in Australia. They're fighting for workers everywhere to have better conditions. The CFMEU are fighting against the ABCC, the Australian Building and Construction Commission. Like, they're fighting for things that will improve ordinary people's lives. Climate justice is going to improve ordinary people's lives as well. And we need to be working with those unions to actually be building that power so they come out and strike with us.
For sure. I mean, they are very exciting developments. Green jobs sounds like a great, great field to look into. Just finally, following Friday's protests, which I'm told is leaving Town Hall at 12 o'clock, what is next for the environmental movement?
Well, there's a big political debate about, you know, where do we move from here? The strike is really exciting and so many people are getting involved, and that's fantastic. We've had maybe 100 uni students on the campus starting to do activism around it in the first 2 weeks of classes. And most of those people would never have done activism before, but they're serious about climate justice. So, you know, where does that energy go? I think it's really important that it does focus on the union movement and the green jobs. Like right now, the strike that's happening is happening in 51 countries around the world. Greta in Sweden has sort of kickstarted a global movement, and people really are catching on. But in Belgium, the ABVV, and it's one of the union confederations there that covers about 30% of unionized workers, they're walking out on the day as well to go on strike and to sort of shut down that massive section of the economy that they're involved with, and to shut that down on the day of the strike. And I think we need to be building that politics in Australia and trying to build into the union movement about the jobs and about actually how do unionists go on strike for climate justice. There's a rich history of that actually in Australia. The Builders Labourers Federation in the 70s and 80s in Sydney particularly, they fought for environmental justice in the jobs that they were doing. They fought to save parklands in Mossman. That was where it all sort of kicked off. Kelly's Park, I think it was called. But they also fought to save Centennial Park and other parklands. Sort of the ethos and the logic behind it was, we who build it and live around it, we deserve to be making the decisions about how it actually works for us as well. And they would go on strike to save heritage buildings, to save their local environment. And we need to be building that sort of politics and ethos into the movement. I think the next real thing we could be doing is the ACTU, the Australian Council of Trade Unions, they've called a one-day strike across the country on the 10th of April. So that's it's in about a month's time. And I think, you know, I'd be really interested in organising uni students here to be getting to that rally in numbers with the message of green jobs, actually making an intervention where there's, you know, tens of thousands of people in Sydney. There's 120,000 people in Melbourne at the last strike that they called, weekday action strike they called in Victoria. If we have, you know, close to 100,000 in Sydney as well, we need to be getting the message out that our movement and the movement for the environment, the workers' movement and the environment movement, that is, are combined, and we need to be fighting together. So building into the union movement on April 10, I think, will be a great development. But onwards into the election and after the election, we need to be building those relationships even stronger.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely turning heads. And I think, like you mentioned, it is the younger generations who will be affected. So that's probably why they are getting so much exposure. And just building that dialogue, keeping that dialogue, and as you say, collaborating with unions and and workplaces is definitely the way. Kelton, this is all very exciting. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time on the show today.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for having me, and look forward to seeing everyone at the Climate Striker Town Hall. And if you're at Sydney University, we'll be meeting up at 10:30 at Fisher Library. The staff union here is walking off, but also the school kids, the tertiary school kids, will be walking off as well, hopefully in our thousands, and going down to Town Hall. So see everybody then.
There you go. Let's head down there on Friday. You heard it here first. Kelton, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.